5 o'clock in Utah.
Ding, ding, ding.
And it's time for today's big interview with Bill and OC on ESPN 700.
Okay, you happy?
That's better.
The big interview is brought to you by Wasatch Front Kia, 895 West Riverdale Road in Ogden. Now for today's big interview, here are Bill and OC on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Just a skosh after 5 o'clock on a Friday. It's great to have you in. 9 to 5ers, welcome out of your work day. And welcome into the Bill and OC show on Utah's number one sports talk and home of the NBA Finals, ESPN 700. Also, welcome to the weekend. If you just get out of your work day, hopping in the car, please, as always, click it or ticket. Buckle up, be safe, get home. And maybe some of you took today off. If you did, I'm jealous. It was 75 and sunny here in Salt Lake City today. Some of you may be out on the golf course. Some of you may be out laying by the pool, grabbing a little sun today. Enjoy, soak it up. Should be a great weekend here in Salt Lake City. We're 6 days away from the NBA Finals beginning. We're, of course, your home of the NBA Finals. Every minute, every game, every bit of the action will be heard right here on ESPN 700 next Thursday night at 7 o'clock. When we're done, we'll turn it over to, I'm going to guess it's Kevin Calabro that has the call on ESPN Radio. He and Mark Kestisher did a good job. Anyway, we'll have every minute of play-by-play action here, and I'm going to guess our next guest will be bouncing between Cleveland and Oakland. He is a guy you see all over ESPN and ESPN.com. It's been a while probably since he's been to Salt Lake City covering those Jazz Lakers series back in the day when he worked for the LA Times. Jay Adonde with us here on ESPN 700. Jay, how are you?
Good. How you doing? Yeah, it's been a while since I've been up to Salt Lake for a playoff game.
Man, we've got to get – the Jazz are improving now. In fact, they're probably better. I think we'll see the Jazz in the playoffs before we see the Lakers in the playoffs, but we need to get you back out here. Quinn Snyder's got the boys on the right track.
Yeah, they are. The question is who drops out. You know, if anytime you start looking at, okay, who can make an entry into the playoffs in the Western Conference, maybe Dallas drops out next year. You know, they might go through a rebuilding phase, but it's so crowded. You know, any team you want to put in – you got to figure out who you're taking out first. There's not a lot of candidates to come out.
Yeah, I don't know if the Jazz are ready next year. They made a nice jump this year, J.A. They got from 25 to 38 wins. I always contend that jump from 38 to 45 or 46 might be even more difficult. But give if somebody's going to drop out in the West next year, who's the most likely candidate to drop out of that top eight? Is it Dallas? Is that the team? Is it New Orleans?
Dallas,
who do you think it might
be? I mean, you know, New Orleans is looking at coaching change, maybe they'll be boosted, and they had a lot of injuries too this year.
Yeah.
And now they've got the experience of going. So, you know, they to win that last game of the regular season against the San Antonio team that needed to win, you know, and we saw how San Antonio paid the price. They lost home court advantage, they faced the Clippers in the first round. You know, so San Antonio knew the stakes and still New Orleans was able to beat them in that game. So, you know, that could be worth like 5 wins for them next year, just that experience of going through that. So, you know, we'll see. Dallas, are they on their last run with Dirk Nowitzki? That could be possible. Or they could also reload, too. It would be very interesting to see where the likes of a Marc Gasol or a LaMarcus Aldridge wind up in free agency this summer.
Yeah, I think LaMarcus Aldridge could be a linchpin this summer. If he decides to stay with Portland, obviously Portland's in good shape. They've got to get Wes Matthews healthy. But if he decided to go someplace else, say maybe go back to his home state of Texas and play – for a San Antonio or a Dallas, that could shift the power in the West, couldn't it?
Yeah, and also you're talking about teams that could drop out. Maybe Portland drops out without LaMarcus Aldridge. So that could be the spot that Utah winds up claiming.
We're talking to Jay Adonde here on the Bill and OC show this afternoon on ESPN 700 live from Shields. Before we talk about the finals, the Magic made an announcement today. They're going to hire Scott Skiles. There's a couple of other openings. Obviously, Chicago's got an opening, and so does New Orleans. What do you make of the Skiles hire? He's been a successful, if not overly successful, coach, and obviously the Magic know him because he played there for 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that was the key to the hiring. You know, Alex Martins is the CEO of the Magic, and he's been there going back to Scott Skiles' playing days back when Alex was in the PR department. So, you know, he's amassed a lot of power. I think he's comfortable with Scott. He believes in him, knows him. So, you know, we've seen more and more fit with the front office and fit sideways, as described, is almost as important, if not more important, fit with the players. You know, I think that went a long way toward Mark Jackson's dismissal and Steve Kerr's hiring in Golden State last year. So, you know, I think that's what's larger behind that. In addition to the fact that, you know, I just think they're one of those teams that could use some tightening up. And I think Scott Stiles can bring that there in his first year.
Chicago doesn't necessarily need tightening up. They just need to be healthy, but apparently Thibodeau and Jerry Reinsdorf didn't get along. That's a really good job for somebody. Did they make the right move overall? I know the owner ultimately has the power, but is there a better coach out there than Tom Thibodeau?
Well, I always say if you're going to fire a successful coach, you better have somebody lined up who's better. And, you know, and I'm not sure they can make that statement that they're going to bring in a better coach than Tom Thibodeau. Now, maybe they're going to bring in a better fit than Tom Thibodeau. And it gets back to what we were talking about, that comfort level. And clearly there's a distrust and animosity between Thibodeau and the front office. And you saw that expressed in the, you know, what I thought was kind of a low blow press release where they had to, that was went out of their way to take shots at him out the door. And to belittle and undermine what he had accomplished there in Chicago. You know, I think Thibodeau has every right to be proud of what he did with that Bulls team, particularly in light of all the injuries that they suffered. You know, okay, so maybe they had some personality clashes up in the front office, but, you know, you don't need to make that public when the guy's going. You know, just bid him farewell, wish him good luck, and move on.
Jay Adande with us here in Salt Lake City on ESPN 700. The finals begin next Thursday night. From a hype, from a media standpoint, from a fan standpoint, is this about the best finals we could have hoped for, Jay?
Yeah, this year. You know, you got the one seed and the two seed, and, you know, this two seed is in the East is a lot more glamorous than the one seed Atlanta Hawks. So this is it. It's LeBron, it's Steph Curry. You got a guy going to his fifth straight finals versus a guy going to his first finals, an organization going to its first finals in 40 years. You got two hungry fan bases. Of course, Cleveland hasn't won anything since the 1960s. And the Bay Area, I mean, they got the current World Series champions, among other championships clubs up there. But basketball-wise, and it's a great basketball region, basketball-wise, they haven't been rewarded in 40 years. So, you know, just that backstory adds to it. And these are two teams that are fun to watch. You know, the Warriors have an exciting style of play. Now they're not going to be on as late. You know, a lot of people in the East Coast might have missed them during the regular season because their games are starting at 10:30 Eastern time. But now the East Coast will be able to see them. You know, I think they're a regionally popular team out West. So I'm excited for it. And it's really difficult to call, I think, just because you have the best team against the best player. So which wins? In the NBA, you know, the best player can go a long way towards overcoming the best team. We certainly saw that in the Eastern Conference. The Hawks were the best team throughout the year. But Cavs were the best, and really, it's the two best teams since LeBron returned from his little two-week break in January. These two teams have the best record in the NBA since then. So, you know, this is the matchup we wanted. This is the matchup we got.
Normally, I hate layoffs. I hate the 2 weeks between Super Bowls. I'm not thrilled with the 8 days off between, but in this case, I am, because I want both teams at 100%. The 8 days gives Thompson a chance to rest up. Also gives Kyrie Irving a chance. I don't mind the 8 days off. Generally, I don't like it, but I think that we'll have two pretty healthy teams next Thursday night, don't you?
Yeah, you make a good point that it is a blessing in this case, and I agree with you. Normally, I don't like the layoff. It makes for worse ball in addition to us missing, you know, basketball. Where are we going to watch these next 2 days? Fortunately, there's a couple game sevens in the NHL, but now, in this case, yes, I do think it'll help. It should be enough time, hopefully, for Klay Thompson to recover from this concussion. I'm not sure it's enough time for Kyrie Irving. You know, maybe this is something that requires a whole offseason or surgery to fix. He wasn't moving well even after he returned. But he should be a little more mobile, at least, than what we've seen him in recent weeks.
Yeah, I would say so, and I'm looking forward to it because of a lot of the different matchups and the different things, that the intricacies within this thing. We know about LeBron James. We know about Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving. But let's go a little deeper than that. Who do you look at that's not one of those top two players on each side that's integral or most integral to either Golden State or Cleveland winning this thing?
Well, starting with Cleveland, Tristan Thompson and his rebounding ability, it just seems like he gets everything that's missed. And that's why the main reason why they're not missing Kevin Love so much, because, you know, Love, you know, can rebound among the higher rates. I think they've dropped down a little bit as he's fallen in love with that three-point shot. But offensive rebounding, Tristan Thompson gives that. And second-chance possessions that he'll give them, the second-chance opportunities that he'll give them will be big. So they'll have to keep him off the boards for Golden State. You know, for the Warriors, I look at Draymond Green, who, you know, has a chance to make a name for himself. I think NBA people know who he is and what he's about, but yeah, I think, you know, the casual fan that tunes in for the finals can see him, the versatility, where he can get some minutes at center and, you know, give them a kind of faster pace, higher scoring lineup than when Andrew Bogut gets in. And along those lines, you'll see Harrison Barnes, a small forward who can play some power forward and, again, stretch defenses with his outside shooting ability, and he's a very versatile, very athletic player. So these kind of guys are important. And, you know, which one of those secondary players, you know, you think the stars will cancel each other out. You know, you figure Steph Curry will counteract LeBron James, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving. Those guys cancel each other out. So which one of those secondary players will rise to the occasion? That will go a long way toward determining who wins the series.
Yeah, I think it usually does. Where did you come down during that Hawks series on the whole dirty play by Dellavedova narrative that at least Atlanta fans were trying to purvey?
It seemed like he was doing a little extra, and you know, I know the Hawks or the Cavs are trying to say, well, he's just a guy that hustles a lot, but it just seemed like there was a little extra roll, you know, a little low dive. You know, I could see where the Hawks were saying that it just seemed like a little bit much, but you know, I don't think he was going out there with the intent to take out players, but I just think his style of play led to that.
So you were kind of leaning that way a little bit then. You were kind of there with Budenholzer.
Just slightly. I mean, I wouldn't have done, you know, an atomic elbow drop on him like Al Horford did, but it just seemed like it's a little bit extra. That's all.
The officiating, we always focus on officiating, and some of the guys getting ejected and some things like that has been a little bothersome in this postseason. Van Gundy's been pretty, as he is with a lot of things, been pretty vocal about some of the stuff on TV. Give me a tweak based on what you've seen in this postseason. If there's anything you would tweak just a little bit from a rules or an officiating standpoint, is there something there? Is it going to the monitor too much?
Wise, I'd get rid of the stupid fouling away from the ball, which brings games to the absolute standstill and, you know, basically excuses teams from having to play defense. You know, people say, oh, well, they should make their free throws. No, you should play defense first and foremost. I mean, that's a more essential part of the game than making free throws, and to just cop out on playing defense and send a guy who's 80 feet from the basket without the ball to the free throw line just because he's a bad free throw shooter. That's too bad, too big of a loophole, and it renders the games just dreadful to watch. So it's bad for the product. So, I mean, that's the number one thing I would change right now. And even though one of the reasons they haven't changed is they said that, you know, it's only utilized on 8 to 9 players a year. You know, the fact that that could be the difference, or some coaches view that as a difference when you get in the playoffs. I mean, you've got DeAndre Jordan, you've got Dwight Howard, you know, these are guys who are on the top 8 teams in the league. You know, you might see it used with Festus Ezeli or Andrew Bogut during the finals. So, you know, I would absolutely get rid of that rule. You know, it's the worst thing going in the league right now.
Well, the good news is I don't think we'll see much or any of it in the finals, with the exception of maybe a guy like Bogut on one side or Thompson. Everybody shoots the free throws pretty well. So I wouldn't anticipate seeing it, especially, too, with the Warriors. They love the pace of play. They love to get up and down. And I was actually surprised we saw Kerr go to it at all in that last series.
Yeah, and I was a little disappointed. You know, yeah. I expect more from Steve Kerr, a little more respect for the game. But, you know, obviously he's done an outstanding job coaching that team in his first year. But again, as the stakes get so high, coaches are looking for any edge they can, and I hate to give them that loophole, you know, that gets them out of playing defense. You know, and you know, just get a stop. And a lot of times, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, where once a team stops fouling and they get back to playing defense, guess what? You get a turnover, you get a transition opportunity, and maybe you get 3 points instead of settling for 2 points. So, you know, and I think Kerr, hopefully he got it out of his system, and now that they're not going against Dwight Howard, he'll just get back to playing basketball.
Moment or two more with Jay Adande from ESPN. You'll see him covering the finals and probably all over the different platforms. Let me ask you, who are you more surprised to see coaching in these NBA finals, Steve Kerr, David Blatt. Steve Kerr had never coached before, but he inherited a pretty darn good ready-made team. David Blatt had coached before, but at one point in this season, his team was 19-20 and in need of some real help. Who are you more surprised is in the NBA Finals, Blatt or Kerr?
I'm more surprised to see Blatt. Maybe I'm surprised he still is around after that start with so much pressure in Cleveland. You know, one thing I will say is that he had good support from up above. You know, you didn't have the stuff that was going on in Chicago with all these whisperings about job security. You know, so they supported him, and, you know, they were rewarded. They kind of righted the ship. Of course, a lot of that had to do with LeBron getting healthy and the rest of the team getting healthy and them adjusting to their new guys that they acquired in trades during the season. You know, Kerr, I thought he could do well. As you said, he took over a good team, and just he's been around the NBA. You know, with Blatt, it's a case of he's had success, and he's coached, but he hadn't coached in the NBA. And the NBA is a lot different from regular basketball. And you know, the X's and O's stuff on the court might be the same, but all the egos and the money and everything else that comes on with it, the agents whispering in people's ears, you know, that's a powerful aspect of coaching in the NBA. And I wasn't sure how he would deal with that. But, you know, he's remained steady. I think his players have slowly grown more confident in him as they've seen what he's about. But I would say he's the more surprising of the two.
All right, I'm going to end it with, well, there's two questions. I'm going to ask you for your pick in the series in a second. But I've been asking everybody. We've had NBA front office guys on the show this week, other NBA analysts, former coaches, all kinds of things. I'm going to ask you the same question because I've taken some heat on the show from listeners and different people. I've made the comment that in 10 years when LeBron's career is all said and done, I think there's a very good case to be made that he'll be the greatest player in the history of the game. Am I crazy for saying that? And where does Jay Adande fall on LeBron now versus when it's all said and done?
Well, to me now, you can't have him in that conversation yet because first let him have at least a winning record in the finals. And he's 2-3 in the finals right now. You know, I just don't think he can be among the greatest. I can't put you above Magic or Michael if you have a losing record in the finals. His capabilities, his best is as good, if not better, than anything I've seen in the playoffs. I referred specifically to that Game 6 in Boston when he went in there and it seemed like the whole mini dynasty was on the line and he pulled out a game single-handedly coming out of the lines then. And then that 25 straight points that he scored against Detroit, the first time that the Cavs got to the finals in 2007. Those are two spectacular all-time great playoff performances. But the inconsistency, you know, that 2011 series against Dallas, I really think it's going to be an albatross where he just came up short repeatedly in the fourth quarter, got outplayed by Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki in the fourth quarters. You know, that's something you can't have. And even the start of the 2013 series that they won against the Spurs, he was kind of tentative and slow, and people were wondering, oh, is LeBron going to assert himself? And that's something that you never ask of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan never scored less than 20 points in a finals game. You know, Michael Jordan's, you know, will to dominate the game at the highest level was never called into question, and that's something that we've done with LeBron. You know, so that's why it's hard. You know, he's got to exceed his own era. I think he's got to get past or equal Kobe's five. You know, he's had the greater individual success, more MVPs than Kobe Bryant has, but, you know, Kobe's sitting on five championships. Shaq's sitting on four championships. Even his teammate Dwayne Wade has three. So he has a long way to go to clear his contemporaries and enter his name among the discussion for the all-time greats.
To me, though, let's say he gets to eight championships and wins four of them, J.A., when you factor that body of work with his entire game, does that mean something? Or are you a guy that just looks at championships and that's that?
Well, it's not just championships, but, you know, so because if it's just championships, then it's Bill Russell.
Bill Russell.
And Robert Horry with seven rings. You know, so there's more to it than that, but to me, a losing record in the finals says something. You know, that when you get to the biggest stage and you haven't delivered, and again, you know, I don't really hold the 2007 against him when, you know, that team probably had no business being in the finals and they were going against a superior opponent. But, you know, that Dallas series and then going out in five last year, you know, but, you know, again, you know, are we going to go back and look at the cramp game as his legacy as, okay, you get cramps in the finals and, okay, his body broke down on him, but again, you can't have that happen in the finals. If you want to be the greatest player in the history of the game, you can't leave NBA Finals games with cramps.
All right, before you go, who you got and how many games?
Leaning slightly toward Golden State in 7, but that just shows you how much of a pop-up I think it is.
I'm leaning toward Cleveland. And I said Cleveland in 6 because one of my NBA insiders yesterday said Cleveland in 7. I don't have a dog in the fight, so I just hope we get either 6 or 7 games, period, in this series.
I would love that.
I would, too. Hey, thanks for making a few minutes for us here in Salt Lake City. I hope the Jazz get to be good enough here in the next year or two that we get you back here to cover some games. Really enjoy your work on the .com, but also on TV as well. Thanks, J.A.
Thanks for having me on.